All right, folks, I'm Logan Alec. I'm a CPA. This is my update for Tuesday, June 5th. I'm really focused on the Georgia elections today because, as we've said before, this election is the single most important factor right now in determining if there is another stimulus payment, and if there is another stimulus payment, the size of it, and if there is another stimulus payment, when it happens. In fact, that's exactly what Joe Biden said yesterday in Atlanta while campaigning for the Democratic challengers in Georgia, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. He said, "If you send John and the Reverend to Washington, those $2,000 checks will go out the door, restoring hope and decency and honor for so many people who are struggling right now. And if you send the Republicans back to Washington, those checks will never get there. It's just that simple. The power is literally in your hands." But before we get into the Georgia elections, I want to answer a stimulus question from Jason Duncan on Twitter. And Jason asked me, "Logan, I have a question. I live in Kentucky, and my daughter has a friend who is 17 and was legally emancipated. Can she file taxes and claim the stimulus for herself? She is not claimed as a dependent, and she worked 9 months of the year in 2020. Any info would be great." So here's what I told Jason. Assuming this individual really cannot be claimed as a dependent in 2020, since she provided more than half of her own support during the year, housing is obviously the big one. Right? To not be eligible to be claimed as a dependent in 2020 by someone else, then I'm assuming then that she lived on her own and paid for her own housing and everything throughout most of 2020. I'm imagining maybe this is the 9 month period you're referring to where she worked and supported herself. Because if her parents provided more than half of her support during the year, and that includes the cost of putting a roof over her head if she lived with them at any point, then she can't be claimed as a dependent, right? But if she only lived with them a couple months, but the rest of the year, you know, she supported herself, sounds fine. So assuming that she provided more than half of her own support in 2020, which it sounds like she has, and she's not eligible to be claimed as a dependent in 2020, then yes, it sounds like she is eligible to claim a recovery rebate credit for $1,800 on her 2020 tax return, even if her parents claimed her as a dependent in 2019 when she was 16, and even if her parents received a stimulus payment of $1,100 for her, right, based on their 2019 tax return. In fact, the FAQs on the IRS website, while not addressing this specific situation, certainly envisions the possibility of someone previously claimed as a dependent in 2019 receiving their own recovery rebate credit on their 2020 tax return if they cannot be claimed as a dependent in 2020. And there is nothing in Internal Revenue Code Section 6428, which is the original stimulus, or in the text of the new stimulus bill, Internal Revenue Code 6428A, and there's nothing in the recovery rebate credit worksheet in the draft 1040 instructions for 2020 that would preclude one from claiming a recovery rebate credit on their 2020 tax return simply because they were claimed as a dependent in 2019, if they were otherwise eligible, right, in 2020. The reduction to the credit is for stimulus payments you yourself received, not stimulus payments paid to someone who claimed you as a dependent in a prior tax year. This might seem counterintuitive and against the no double dipping principle that we're used to when dealing with the IRS. But remember, with these stimulus payments, the IRS is actually being kind of generous with the recovery rebate credit. For example, even if you got more than you were entitled to in terms of a stimulus check, right, in 2020, there's no clawback on your 2020 tax return. So Jason, I would say yes, based on what we can see at this time of the tax code in the 1040 instructions on the recovery rebate credit worksheet, this individual you are referring to sounds like she's eligible to claim an $1,800 recovery rebate credit on her 2020 tax return, assuming she's otherwise eligible beneath the income limits and all that. If you have a stimulus question out there, let me know in the comments. Just FYI, I do tend to focus on the more interesting questions that haven't been answered all over the web. Like, if you ask me, hey, how much is the stimulus? You can easily Google that, right? But Jason's question here, I Googled this, emancipated children and stimulus. Literally nothing came up. So that's why I picked his question to feature here so I could research it because it's unique and interesting and hasn't been answered elsewhere as far as I know. All right, now let's move on to the Georgia runoffs. What should we know about this election that pits Republican David Perdue, whose Senate term actually ended on Sunday, against Democratic challenger John Ossoff, and also pitched Republican incumbent Senator Kelly Loeffler against Democratic challenger Reverend Raphael Warnock. Well, as you know, if Democrats win both races, the Senate is split 50-50, with the vice president, or the soon-to-be vice president Kamala Harris, being the tie-breaking vote in cases of a 50-50 vote split. If Republicans win at least one race, they maintain control of the Senate. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader again, and just like we saw at the end of the last Congress, he will likely be opposed to putting big stimulus checks on the Senate floor without being able to mix them with what Democrats perceive to be poison pills. In terms of polling, Polls opened this morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time in Georgia. Voting locations will start closing at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, if you're in Georgia and you're watching this, if you are in line by 7 p.m., you have the right to vote. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, because lines are a problem in these big cities. Atlanta, for example, right? In the state's primary election in June, it was past midnight by the time the last voters cast their ballots, despite having been in line since at least 7 p.m. at the latest at some polling places. In the general election, some voters in Atlanta, Fulton County, and other places waited as long as 8 hours to be able to vote. Democrats are obviously hoping for big numbers in the larger cities like Atlanta, while Republicans are looking to the more rural areas for support. No surprises there. When will we know the results of the Georgia Senate races? Well, theoretically, we could know by late tonight, but frankly, these races look like they're going to be pretty darn tight, and it could take days to count all the ballots because there are more than 3,000 early votes. Over 3,000 Georgians voted early, and by Georgia law, those ballots can't start being counted until the polls close tonight. And of course, just like in the general election, we expect those early vote ballots to lean Democratic. Keep in mind the surveys that we've been looking at. I put some on the screen yesterday, you know, which tend to put the Democratic candidates on top. Keep in mind the surveys, surveying for runoffs, it's incredibly difficult to do because turnout patterns in runoffs are different and oftentimes inconsistent and more difficult to predict than turnout patterns in the general presidential elections or even the typical midterm elections. Of the 16 pollsters that conducted surveys for this race, none used the gold standard live interview phone polling methods that are used by the top pollsters for general elections. This is all to say that anything can happen today. Now let's talk briefly about the Electoral College count in Congress. Tomorrow, Congress will hold a joint session to count the Electoral College votes, and at least 13 Republican senators, including Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, as well as Kelly Loeffler, who, as you know, is defending her Georgia seat today. David Perdue probably would have supported this, but his term technically expired on Sunday. These senators, along with more than 100 House Republicans, want to challenge the election results in certain battleground states. This group of Republicans wants to suspend the counting of the Electoral College votes in Congress tomorrow so that the results in battleground states can be further reviewed. But most Republican members of Congress see this challenge as a fool's errand. Republican Senator Ben Sasse in Nebraska said, "This is not healthy for the Republican Party. This is bad for the country and bad for the party." The number two Republican Senator, John Thune, said the effort to challenge the election will go down like a shot dog. Other Republican senators who are opposed to Ted Cruz's election challenge include Richard Shelby of Alabama, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, Richard Burr of North Carolina, and Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Oh, and also Roy Blunt of Missouri. Roy Blunt actually said, "I don't think either of the two efforts has any chance for success, and I actually like to come up with plans that have a chance of being successful." Ouch. Pat Toomey said this effort by Cruz and Hawley undermines the right of the people to elect their own leaders. Mitch McConnell, he doesn't want this sort of thing either. He doesn't like it when members of his caucus in the Senate take controversial positions on things that could make, say, undecided voters shy away from the Republican Party in the next cycle. But oftentimes, senators do not have the same goals in mind as their party leaders. For example, Josh Hawley, young, 41 years old, youngest current senator. He's ambitious, likely has presidential ambitions. He likes to make waves, right? He reached across the aisle to Bernie Sanders for $2,000 stimulus checks. He is now getting his name in the news again with this election issue, right? And now guess what? Everybody knows his name. And this is all, of course, against the backdrop of Trump's call with the Georgia Secretary of State, in which the president asked him to essentially give him more votes to put him over Biden. Democrats like the number two Senate Democrat, Dick Durbin, called for a criminal investigation of this matter. Durbin said of Trump, "His disgraceful effort to intimidate an elected official into deliberately changing and misrepresenting the legally confirmed vote totals in his state strikes at the heart of our democracy and merits nothing less than a criminal investigation." And Chuck Schumer, snarkily, 2 days ago, retweeted an article about Trump's call with the Georgia Secretary of State, and Schumer said, "Hey, Ted Cruz and his gang, you want to investigate election fraud? Start with this." All right, everybody, that is my update for right now. As you are, I'm keeping a close eye on the Georgia elections. I'll make a video if something big happens there. Thank you so much for watching, folks, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye-bye.